We've been in a series called Signs, and today I want to talk about Samson and Delilah, thus the sign. Dangerous curves. Take it however you want. When you see the sign dangerous curves, it means to slow down because something might be there that you didn't plan on. And you want to be ready if you're not aware. Have you ever listened to someone that was like 14 years old and they were talking to their boyfriend and she said, "I'm just so in love." Right. Sure you are. Before I met my wonderful wife, I dated a little bit, and I remember one time a girl, she kept telling me that she loved me, and I didn't know what to say after that she said that, and so finally she said, "Well, do you love me, Randy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so." "I love you, the love of Jesus. I don't know what to say, you know." Isn't it something how we play with that word love, and our definition of love these days is really distorted in our culture today. And we call the things love that really isn't love at all. And if we're not careful, we will adopt the definition that our culture has of love and not the definition of God's definition of love that he has. The Bible says that God is love. So the more we can be like him, the more we will love him. Samson, strong muscles, but he had weak morals. Judges chapter 13. How many brought your Bibles this morning? Raise your hand if you brought your Bibles. Sweet. If you have a phone, you can do it on your phone or your Bible. Get on the app because we've got a Bible on the church app. You can do that too. We want you to be ready. Judges chapter 13, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, chapter 13 through 16. We're going to talk a little bit about all that today. Was Samson a success or was he a failure? It's a good question. Samson, he was an interesting character, to say the least. Many times the cycle of Israel's faith is recorded in their fall, their oppression, their repentance, and their deliverance. They would mess up, and then they were oppressed because they messed up, and then they would repent. And then they would repent and God would forgive them. It's an interesting cycle that happened back in the book of Judges that happened throughout the whole Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. And if you didn't know it, it's happening today. Anybody been through those four things? You know, you fell down, you messed up. Then you were oppressed as a result of your sin. And then you repented and then God forgave you and you got deliverance. It still happens today. Here we see Israel had fallen and they were oppressed by the Philistines. Then immediately we read about the birth of God's deliverer with no repentance mentioned at all. Then Samson gets more coverage than any other judge in the book. Why? His life was selfish. It was brutal. It was vengeful. It was immoral. It was ungodly. He got strength on the outside, but he had no control on the inside. His character, in other words, couldn't keep him where his gift took him. He didn't have any character to go along with his gift. He was very gifted. Everybody say, "I'm gifted." Now the rest of y'all say it. "I'm gifted." Everybody's gifted in some way. When you find out what you're gifted to do, then you begin to do it. And did you know that your gift can either be a blessing or a curse? It can be blessed or it can become vile. If you use your blessing in the wrong way, people do that all day long in our culture today. So our challenge today is to use the gift that he has us for his glory. Samson was a Nazirite all of his life. The Nazirite vow directives were to Samson, and it was to be his rule of life. By the way, has anybody ever made a vow to God and then you didn't keep it? Kind of like the little kid falling off the roof and he goes, God, save me. And he gets his pant leg hung up on the roof. He says, it's okay, God, I got it from here. Sometimes that's the way we are. Directives, he failed miserably, Samson did, at keeping, yet God's blessing of strength and grace was with him through this process. Why did Samson make the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11? You got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then you've got Samson. And he's mentioned in the New Testament and with all of the people that were full of faith. He was extremely gifted, but not godly. Make no mistake, Samson was no role model. God is in the gift-giving business, but with each gift comes certain responsibilities. The study of the life of Samson shows us an example of what not to do with the gift that God has blessed us with. Judges chapter 13 tells us that Israel forsaken their faith again. God has given them over to the power of the Philistines. The Philistines remained the oppressors of Israel until King David finally conquered them. You remember the giant Goliath? He was a Philistine. So the job that God had for Samson to redeem Israel, they were still clicking along clear into David's kingdom. And so Samson didn't really get his job done. They were around through the time of Abraham and Isaac. They learned to work with iron and made weapons with agricultural tools. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19, it says, not a blacksmith. This was an important job back in those days, but it says, not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel, because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords and spears. So all Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plowshares, mattocks, axes, and sickles sharpened. They didn't even have a blacksmith. In the whole nation of Israel, they had come under the subjection of the Philistines. If Judges follows its normal pattern, we should hear of Israel's groanings and finally crying out to the Lord and repenting so that they can experience deliverance. But that is conspicuously missing in this time. There is no repentance in Israel. Israel is beginning to accept their situation. And they're beginning to fit into the pagan nation around them. Not unlike much of America is doing today. If we're not careful, we will fit in with the entire culture of America and the things that God has called non-negotiable, we will negotiate. The things that are not acceptable to God, we will find acceptable if we allow our culture that we live in to drift into us, and we will become chameleons in the nation that God put us in. They're accepting the Philistines' rule over them and not calling on the Lord for deliverance. Israel's faith, it seems, has four parts. Fall, the oppression, the repentance, and deliverance. This time, repentance is missing. The story jumps right to the announcement of Samson's birth, God's deliverer for Israel, or so God intended for Samson. Though people still speak of the Lord, they are assimilating into pagan neighborhoods and failing in God's directive to conquer the land. The lesson here for the church: we must never get so comfortable in the world around us that we fail to recognize that the presence of God has left us, that his purpose is no longer a priority. The angel appeared to Manoah's wife, announcing Samson's birth. Samson's name means sun or daylight. He is to be a Nazarite, a light for the nation of Israel, not a Nazarene. A Nazarene is from Nazareth. The Nazarite is a covenant name. In other words, Samson was born to set aside his complete life as in a covenant relationship with God. It stands for someone who is set apart. The Nazarite vow involves three main things: no drinking of wine or even touching grapes, nor haircuts, no haircuts, and no touching anything that was dead. It was a call for moral excellence. He was to practice self-denial, separation, and sanctification. And by the way, he failed in every one of those areas. He was, the life of Samson unfolds as we observe the fall of Samson in these phases. Judges chapter 14, we'll start with verse 14 of your Bible. Verse 14, it says, "Now Samson went down." Everybody say he went down. Oh, by the way, he's going to keep going down. Just a little teaser for you. "He went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father." He had to go back up to tell his father and mother, saying, "I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife." Then his father and his mother said, "Is there no woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all my people that you must go down and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, because she pleases me well." Sound like a little spoiled brat to me. But his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord that he was seeking on occasion to move against the Philistines, for at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Listen, God knew that this relationship with this woman wasn't going to work, but he was going to work what he wanted to work, even though Samson wasn't paying attention. Did you know that God said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it? Did you know that God can build his church with or without you? He can build it with or without me. Oh, Samson, he's jacked. The first thing we learn about Samson is that he has a weakness for women. He can tear a lion apart. He can kill thousands of men with the jawbone of a donkey. He can tear off and carry city gates several miles up a mountain, but he can't pass up a skirt on a woman. Along with his weaknesses for women, we see his disrespect for God's purpose for him and his dishonor for his own parents' authority. Y'all remember the sign last week? Yield, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. Let me just tell you something. It's fixing to go bad for Samson because he didn't honor his mother and father. By the way, unequally yoked doesn't mean that you marry somebody in the same race that you're in. It means that you don't marry somebody that is a non-believer. When God told us not to be unequally joined together, he was meaning don't be unequally joined with a non-believer. Most people, I've noticed something about people in our culture. Generally, people marry people that they date. Yeah, and you're saying, so? So, don't date anybody if you're not willing to marry them. There you go. Amen. Well, I'm just trying to get him in church. No, you get him in church, then date him, but don't get him in church. Don't date him so you can get him in church. I think a lot of these guys I've been raised in this, and I've seen it happen over. They get galvation before they get salvation. It's like, just give me that woman, you know, and priorities all messed up, manipulating. Make sure you got the real thing. God does not abandon him. From this, we learn a lot about God's mercy and grace as well as about Samson's character. Verse 5, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now that should tell you something. One of the things a Nazirite was not supposed to do was go near wine and be tempted by the wine. Now, to his surprise, a young lion comes roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. Has God ever blessed you when you didn't have it coming? I'll preach better if y'all help me. Has anybody been blessed when you didn't deserve to get blessed? Yes. He said he tore up that lion. He didn't have anything in his hand. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord came on him. When you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, it doesn't matter what you have in your hand. You can run through a troop and you can jump over a wall. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. If the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, even though you may not have anything in your hand, you say, well, preacher, I don't have anything. So what? Get God in you and God will help you. Amen. Had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he'd done. Then he went down again and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Well. Now, I'm not going to comment on that, but we can assume that she pleased him well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, a swarm of bees. Now, here's in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hand and went along eating it. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion because he touched something dead. You'll find in this story of Samson that every sense, they tell us we have five senses, touching, tasting, seeing, hearing, one more. Did I say touching? Smelling. I'm sure he could smell the dead lion. And he could smell the honey. He tested. Isn't it something that the thing that God really blesses us with can become a curse and it can become vile, or it can be used for his kingdom and you can enjoy it? So, and then verse 10, it says, so his father went down to the woman. Well, if we can't get Samson to come up, we're going to go down with him. Listen, moms and dads, you still need to be the example regardless of what your children are doing. You be the stability for the life of your children and don't go down to them so that you can be on their side if they're in the wrong place. So Samson, he gets married and he gives this little riddle to the marriage party, and the wedding feast lasts for a week. He's got this riddle in the celebration, and he's got this riddle, but nobody knows the answer to the riddle, and Samson doesn't even tell his wife. Then his wife gets ticked off at him, and verse 16, it says, then Samson's wife wept on him. Honey, if you love me, you must really hate me because you won't tell me. And then verse 17, it says, now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. You talk about a dripping faucet. 7 days weeping on him. And it just wore him out, and he finally told her. And then she told the other guys, and then Samson accuses him of plowing with his heifer. I just love that line. That's one of my favorite lines in the Bible. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. We're not going there. It says, so his anger was aroused and he went back up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. The marriage only lasted 1 week and his best man wound up marrying his wife. You don't think this story's jacked. Do you see what would have happened if this story had ended here? Samson, Israel's judge and leader, the one that God had placed for his purpose. And he says, what are you doing? And then he's joining. He's being bonded with the enemy. The one, the oppressors that he came to free his nation from, he has now joined up with them in marriage. Blind. God actually rescues him from spiritual annihilation by the conflict brought about with the riddle. His marriage lasts a week. Can you see that one step toward the devil leads to a journey away from God's will? One step away from God can lead to a journey away from God? Did God reject Samson here? No. Why? You tell me. God is full of mercy and the grace. And it's the same thing, same reason that God doesn't reject me when I mess up. It's the same reason that God doesn't reject you when you mess up, because he is full of mercy and grace. And if that doesn't make you jump up and say, thank you, Jesus, I don't know what will, because we all are sinners saved by the grace of God. Listen to this, verse 20. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistine. Well, bless his heart. For 20 years, Samson did what he was supposed to do. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and he went into her. I get the strong impression that instead of this being the story of Samson, the deliverer of Israel, it is God, the deliverer of Samson. Did you know that God will not sacrifice you for your ministry? He will not sacrifice a country for you, that you are God's greatest treasure, and that you are more important in any ministry that you could possibly do, that God values you as an individual, not because you do things for him, but because you are simply valued by God. And because God values you, I just want you to know that you are God's greatest treasure. And the reason that you can come to church today and take a deep breath and know that you have been born again, that your sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb, that Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for you because of the sacrifice of his son. And we come into his kingdom and we come into his presence, not because we deserve to be there, but it's because of his mercy and it's because of his grace that we can sit here and enjoy his presence, and that Shekinah glory that he brings to us when we come in his presence and worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful, so thankful that God loves us like that. So in spite of Samson's terrible immorality and character flaws, God sticks with him. He's broken two of the Nazirite vows. There's only one left to break, and he's hanging on by the hair of his head. That was sad, I know. Samson's final romance ends in disaster. Delilah enters the scene. And Delilah means weakness or brought low. Do you remember what Samson means? The light, that he was to be a light for Israel. And the woman put out the light. Brought low. Just story of how she gets Samson to tell her about his hair. It's pretty sad. As I read through this, I always wanted to kind of have a conversation with Samson and say, Samson, really? Really? You really don't get this? But then I think about Randy. I think about how many times God has said, Randy, Randy, you really don't get this? Don't y'all be looking too holy on me out there. Wake up. She's proven herself to be deceptive and not worthy of trust, but he trusts her. People that are only trustworthy need to be trusted. He knows he can't. She proves it over and over, kind of like that old country song. I don't know if you ever heard that song, I Love Her for All the Wrong Reasons. That's Samson. Does he really love her? Or does he just love her beauty? Because her beauty will fade sooner or later. Does she really love Samson, or does she love, oh, by the way, none of the women in any of these stories ever told Samson that they loved him. But he was the sucker that always told them that he loved them. And the truth is that he just paid too close attention to his senses than he did to the word of God and his purpose. So here we are in Judges chapter 16, verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say that I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass that she pestered him daily. She pestered him daily. That's just like... with her words, impressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all of his heart, and he said, no razor has ever come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistine. She actually loved him for his money. No, for money, because it wasn't his. But they paid, put money in her hand. Then she lulled him to sleep. She called the barber in, and she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Verse 20 says, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. Listen to this. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't even know that the Lord had departed. Sometimes the greatest blessing that you can ever have in your life, the greatest blessing, is when God's Holy Spirit convicts you of something in your life that is not acceptable to God. It's a blessing to be convicted of the Holy Spirit, because if the day ever comes when you don't have remorse for your sin, when you don't care about what God thinks about your life or your lifestyle, and you can't feel his convicting power, that is the time when you should wake up and go to the altar and plead with God to forgive you of your sins. Because it's a blessing to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. So then the Philistines took him, put his eyes out, plucked his eyes out, brought him to Gaza, whatever. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Listen, Samson was blind a long time before they plucked his eyes out. I've seen a lot of people that have 20/20 vision, but they can't see who they are. Did you know that a lot of blind people can see more than a lot of people that have sight because they pay attention closer. God, help us to be able to see ourselves through God's eyes, to have the same perspective of ourselves that God has of us, to pay attention to who we are from God's perspective, not to try to justify who we are from our perspective. Thank you for those two amens. That was good. Too many times we justify ourselves. I wish somebody helped me preach. I said too many times we justify our own actions because it is separating us from God, and we have blind spots in our life and we don't even know it. Because we have all been there and we have all done that. We have all got that t-shirt. We all have had blind spots in our lives. So true. Then comes the blinding, the binding, and then comes the grinding. Can you imagine grinding the wheat? We saw a grinder like that when we went to Israel on our trip to Israel. And what you do, you just push that. It's a huge stone, and you just go round and round. As long as Samson had a hold of that stone, it says he could just keep grinding. I don't know how long he did that. He went around and around. But the thought came into my mind, I wondered if there was some point in time when he was grinding that he thanked God that the Philistines plucked his eyes out because now he could really see. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, did you know Jesus said something about that? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 9, it says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire. You go, well, preacher, I didn't make that up. I believe he came to look at his blindness as a blessing. So the last days come and they're going to do a big old party. Dagon had a feast. He's the fish god feast. And Samson is the prize of the party. He's the central entertainment. Thousands come to celebrate and honor their idol for the capture of Samson, their enemy. The temple must have been huge. Somehow the structure rested on two large pillars. They probably planned to end this celebration by taking Samson's life. But God empowers him one last time. Listen to this. Samson's life ends in a prayer. Out of all these times, he finally prayed. It took all of this for Samson to do this. To get on his knees. And he said, God, please deliver. And he lost his life. His heart got right. And I guess, really, that's probably the reason that God included him in the Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Faith is because he ended well. So thankful for God's mercy. Man, we don't deserve it. We sure need it. Judges 16:30, it says, so the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. It's just a simple question, but what dangerous curves have you allowed into your life? Strangely enough, God used Samson's gift even as Samson continually abused it. Vision affects everything. He lost his spiritual sight before he lost his physical sight. I don't know if you've ever said this before. Out of all the senses that we have, the one sense that I would hate to lose would be my eyesight. I had my daughter-in-law. She is most of her life, she's had real bad eyesight. And a couple years ago, I won a pretty good sized roper, and I told her, I said, she was wanting LASIK surgery. And so I said, we're gonna pay for that. And I think her mom and dad, and we paid for some of it. And after she got surgery, she said she couldn't stop crying because she could see things like she had never seen them before. How many's had LASIK surgery? Raise your hand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just like, she could see the leaves on the trees and the pines. It just like, everything just became new to her. And all of her life, she had missed all that. And this is what she said. Listen to this. She said, I almost mourned for what I had not seen all my life. She used the word mourned. For the things that she had missed all of her life. And then she could see it and she thought, I didn't even see that. All I want to ask you today is, would you allow God to do surgery on your eyes? Would you be willing to let him mold your eyes and shape your eyes so that you could actually see 20/20 spiritually? Is there anything in your life that has become acceptable that is unacceptable to God? Is there anything that you have negotiated with God that is a non-negotiable with God? You say, well, preacher, you're so serious, because it is serious. Samson didn't even know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. How long has it been since you felt the presence of God? How long has it been since you knelt down and gave God valuable time? How long has it been since you invested into the Word of God so you could know God better? Because you will always have time to do what's most important to you. Everybody does. Everybody has the same amount of time. But we say, preacher, I don't have time. No, you do have time. You just don't take time. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for this lesson that we find with Samson. First of all, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, help us not to cheapen your mercy or your grace by leaning on that, thinking that we can live however we choose to live. But Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Speak to us, Lord, right now, I pray. Help us, Lord, to be willing, Lord, to allow you to do surgery on our eyes. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. Scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. There's not anybody in this room. I've sinned, you've sinned, all our pastors have sinned, everybody's sinned. But the Bible says if we confess our sin, that he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, if you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, or maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand and say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Yep, thank you, thank you. Leave your hands up, please, until we get a Bible in it. Please leave your hands up, yep, until we get a Bible in it. Our ushers are trying, yep. Leave your hands up. Yep, over here. Thank you. Yep, right here. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Back there in the back. Yep, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. When you get your Bible, you can put your hand down. Anybody else? Listen, this is not a time to beg people to come to Jesus. You have to do this of your own accord. God has given you the gift of choice. He doesn't make you serve him. He doesn't make you do the right thing. He just lays out the invitation. Anybody else before we move on? Lift your hand up high. Preacher, that's me. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Leave your hand up. Thank you. Yep, thank you in the back. Yep, thank you. Anybody else before we move on? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Everybody that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to look up at me if you raised your hand. Would you mind coming up? Everybody, there's quite a few of y'all. Come on up here back in the back. I'm going to wait on you. Come on up. I don't want to embarrass you, but it's a good thing. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. So proud of you. Bless you, baby. I'm so proud of you. Bless you. Oh, it's a good day. Bless you, buddy. I'm so proud of you. Bless your heart, baby. So proud. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. I'm so proud of you. Bless you all. Bless your heart. Bless you, buddy. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, if you didn't raise your hand and you know you ought to be up here, I'll wait on you. I got the rest of my life. Okay. This is so cool. The Bible says that God makes it so simple that even a fool couldn't waver therein. But even the wise sometimes overlook the simplicity of God. He said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. What he's saying is that if we believe that Jesus is alive, not that he stayed in the grave, but he's alive and that he's God. If we believe that and confess it, we will be saved. So what I want to do, I want to help y'all pray, basically. That's all I'm saying. So y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I'm going to have you go visit those guys over there for a second, but I want to ask you, I'm going to say something to you. What you feel right now is the gift of the Holy Spirit talking to you. This is a gift. It's the greatest gift you'll ever have in your life. Where how you feel, you won't feel like this probably in 2 or 3 weeks or a month or two down the line. You won't have this particular emotion, but don't think that God's not with you, okay? But what I'm going to say is you got to keep showing up. And like in 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to be getting in late on a Saturday night and you're going to not want to get up on a Sunday morning. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's just like, I'm just going to sleep in. My point is, always run to God. Don't ever run away from him. When you mess up, run to God. Run to your daddy. Don't run from him. He's our Heavenly Father, and he wants us to run to him. When you start running from God, that's when that oppression will come of the enemy, and that's when all hell breaks loose. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all know about that. So always run to God. Is that a deal? I love you guys. Go visit these guys for a second. Bless you. I'm so proud. Thank you. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, buddy. I'm so proud of you. Bless you, buddy. You stand with me, please. Oh, thank you, Lord. third service. So the question is there anything in your life that you have been blinded to? Because I asked myself the question while I was getting this sermon together, what is it in my life that I'm just blinded to it? It takes a lot of courage to pray this prayer. Jesus, show me what's in my life that I'm blinded to. Because he will do that. I want to ask you, I want to just challenge you right now. How many of you would say, preacher, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to kneel down by my bed and I'm going to ask God, is there anything in my life that I've been blinded to, that I've accepted in my life? And God, please show me. And when you show me, I am going to repent and I'm going to say, God, please forgive me. And I'm going to start walking in that way. How many would be willing to say, preacher, I'll kneel down and I'll pray and I'll ask God to convict me of what's in my life that shouldn't be there? Let's raise both hands and let me pray for you. We've got a prayer team up here if you need special prayer. Lord, I just lift everybody up, Lord, that has their hands up. Lord, we realize that as we walk through this life that we can become blinded and we can be deceived by the enemy. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we see everything. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be convicted by your word, to get into your word. Lord, to understand that through prayer, oh God, we spend time, valuable time with you. Lord, as we ask you, Lord, is there any area in our lives that we're blind to that you would convict us? We give you permission. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your word that doesn't withhold the truth from us, but lays it out there plain. And we thank you for it. We love you, Jesus. Bless all these that have come up to receive you today. Bless them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you all. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Thank you.